The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
This is crazy because I knew I wanted to ask you guys about fur. And I have, and here comes some answers. But then I you know, God bless Google, because then I just, look what I found. Look what I found. The debate around wearing vintage fur in Vogue magazine. So even if you're not going out and buying fur, because you just don't want to do that, you don't want to support that industry, what if grandma, whom you loved, was wearing fur, you know, around back in the FDR era when nobody cared, and she owned it, and it's in your closet, and it's, you know, 20 degrees in the morning, and doggone it, you want to go out, and well, you don't want to wear it in the morning on the way to work, but let's see, doggone it, you want to wear grandma's fur. Is that, D Magazine, late 2018, D Magazine right here. Can we still wear our grandmother's fur? Here's something at the stylecaster.com website. Why one fashion editor isn't ashamed to wear real fur. All right. So I've apparently stubbed my toe on something, but the real answer that I crave is from you. So we're going to do that first and then mix and mingle it with various other things. 866-660-5759. Grab a line because, kids, it's Friday.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good.
I would not. So good. I got you.
If we're going to celebrate Mary Chapin Carpenter's birthday, might as well go back to 91.
Saturday night. And the moon is out, I wanna head on over to the twist and shout. Find a two-step partner and a Cajun beat. When it lifts me up, I'm gonna find my feet. Out in the middle of a big dance floor, when I hear that fiddle, wanna beg for more. Wanna dance to a band from Louisiana tonight.
To a band from Louisiana tonight, Down at the Twist and Shout, written and performed by the great Mary Chapin Carpenter. 91 album off of that was Shooting Straight in the Dark, and it was great. And Mary Chapin Carpenter, who has been great for decades, is 62 today. All right, let's dive in. I'm going to you guys first, and then some of these snippets of things that I have found. I don't even know what made me think of this. I don't know. No, no. Let's not bog down on that. But I found myself thinking that I don't think I've heard. I guess I have long been a chronicler of what people are twisted off about. Right? Isn't that kind of this gig? What's upsetting everybody today or this year or this decade? And I haven't heard people, especially with the left and the animal rights wackos. But this was one case where the animal rights people, I think, had it right. Do we need to be clubbing baby seals so that you can, you know, go to Rodeo Drive? You know, or North Park or whatever, and buy a fur coat. And I think my answer tends to be no. But what if you've got, you know, grandma's fur? Do you need to burn that? Or what? Or can you sell that? Is there even a market for that anymore? So here we go. So I leave myself in your able hands. Let's see what happens. 866-660-5759. We are in Flower Mound. Hi, Darren. How are you? Thanks.
Hey, Mark. Hey. I've been a big fan for 20 years.
Thank you.
Love the show. Met you a couple of times. But two quick points. The first one is about grandma's fur. Mm-hmm. My in-laws live with me now. They need full-time care. Mm-hmm. And we've been trying to get their estate put together for their wills and all that, and had to appraise my mother-in-law's fur coat, mm-hmm. which she got 20 years ago. And it appraises for, she paid $3,000 for it, probably. Mm-hmm. And it appraises for, give or take, $3,500 appraisal. Wow. By a furrier.
Right.
However, you go online and you start trying to figure out how much could I actually sell this for.
Yep.
And people are selling almost that same coat for $500.
Ooh.
So the value, as far as kind of like getting your house appraised, you know, you, can you sell it for that?
Yeah, it doesn't, that doesn't necessarily mean that is its fair market value.
It doesn't translate. But the flip side of that, my second thought is, I think people need to make a distinction too. I love leather. I wear cowboy boots. You know, I love leather. And there's a big difference, I think, between taking something that we use for food.
Correct.
And using every part of it.
Correct.
For something that maintains value. So I'm on board for a leather jacket or, you know, a leather pair of shoes or whatever. But to your point, you know, yeah, do we need to go, you know, trap and mink just to skin them and, yeah. So I'm kind of with you on the whole deal.
Yeah, that is beautifully layered call. Thank you, mate. Touched on a lot of vital things because I I know you people. And by that, I mean I know everybody and everything everybody might say, sort of. It's not that it's impossible to surprise me. It happens with regularity. But as I started out on this, you know, do we really need to be trapping and clubbing little fuzzy animals in order to make a coat that we can go get a perfectly good synthetic version of if you need something that looks like fur? And it's not like we're Inuit Eskimos in the northern provinces of Canada in 1885. If you are, do what you do, trap and club and do what you got to do, or you will die. That's the ethics and morals are a little different there. But now, you know, in a civilized country in the modern day, there's just no reason to do that. So I could hear people go, yeah, talk show boy, how you feeling about that burger? Do you absolutely have to do that? How about when you and Lisa go get you that that Papa's Brother steak? Do you absolutely have to do that? And the answer to that is, yeah, we do. Okay, and I don't mean to be glib. First of all, we're going to kill the cow anyway, so there's the leather thing. We're going to kill that cow for food. Do we have to eat meat? Nope, don't have to. Is it a principled thing to do? It absolutely is. People have been eating meat since the invention of human beings, and I plan on continuing. If you want to go be a vegetarian or a vegan, knock yourself out. But there's nothing unscriptural about it. There is nothing amoral about it. We have dominion over the animals. So that is going to be the lot in life of the occasional cow and or pig. And Darren's point there was, as long as you got the cow, you know, might as well get a, you know, a pair of Justin boots out of that thing, along with the steak. Bonus plan. But as far as you know, the little northern creatures that for fur, there's just no reason to do that. Now, am I so, you know, exercised about that I just am willing to condemn people walking around in fur? No. But and in fact, the people who did have such heightened sensitivity toward that, are they just gone? Have they moved on to other things, like trying to sell us on the notion of there being 37 genders? Or yeah, I don't know. So that's why I'm asking you. 866-660-5759. We are in Dallas. Hey, Diane. Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Well, my only comment is that I'm not a grandmother yet, but my coat is 30 years old. And I wear it in Dallas, not very often, but my marker is when it's below 40 degrees. I wore it to the courthouse today, which is where I work.
Awesome.
And I get people commenting, you know, how beautiful my coat is.
Yeah.
And I usually comment, it's 30 years old, not like I went out and bought it yesterday.
So to insulate yourself.
My disclaimer is, you know, I don't want that astigmatism with having done it just recently. But 30 years ago, it was, you know, it was a nice thing to wear over my cocktail dresses. And now, I mean, after kids came along, then I would wear it at the baseball field at 8 o'clock in the morning. Okay. So instead of leaving it in my closet. Yeah. Instead of leaving it in my closet and being freezing as I get into my car, I wear my coat.
So I'm sorry, I just got to have the visual. So the kids are scrubbing through a dusty baseball field for a weekend game. And there's Diane in the stands wearing a fur.
And I am the warmest person there.
Yes, you are.
It is snowing. Yes. It is snowing.
Oh,
Club
man.
Ball, high school so, girls playing out there, freezing, and I'm in the stands, warm. It happens to be a beautiful, warm coat.
Of course
now,
it is.
Would I go out and buy another one right now? No. I do need to have it repaired, and I'm hoping the Furrier is still open. It's down on 35 is where I purchased it 30 years ago, or my husband did, not myself.
Well, there you go.
So anyway, but I never have ever been approached by anybody. Saying,
well,
you know,
okay, now that's interesting. So, but you have worn it with some regularity for 30 years.
Yes.
So all of that here in God's country, North Texas?
Yes, pretty much.
Okay, because the reason I'm thinking is if it were, because when was the heyday of people throwing red paint on folks for fur? Because here we go. Everybody's old. 30 years ago, 1990, kids. 1990,
right.
Yikes.
Right.
Was it
right.
The 80s, the 70s? Had we kind of gotten over that? And maybe part of it is North Texas. The reason I ask is maybe if you're walking around with that thing in 1993 in San Francisco, might not have been as friendly.
Right. When my husband said he wanted to buy me one in 89, I believe it was.
Yes.
I didn't have any fear going out in public with it. It just never even dawned on me. Maybe I wasn't tapped in at 27,
No, I know. I understand.
What was going on.
Would I have your attitude correct that, and it's what you've just told me, so I'm not putting words in your mouth, that this is not an industry that you want to support right now by spending money on an animal that might have been clubbed last year, but since is your coat mink? What is it?
It's mink, yes.
Okay, but since that mink's been dead, since the Bush 41 administration, you're not losing any sleep.
No.
Gotcha. What a perfect call. Diane, thank you. All right, so is that the force field that we surround ourselves with? Hey, man, it's not like I went out and got it today. Oh, and I love this. And I wouldn't do it today. Now, there is a, there's a retort one could make that says, okay, that mink's dead, but in wearing that thing, you're kind of an ambassador for the industry. And if somebody says, oh, look how warm and toasty Diane is, maybe I know. Okay, I'm going to play ping pong with myself. Maybe I need to go get a mink today. But if that occurs to you, go get a synthetic one today. Here's something I don't know and never will. Are the synthetic ones as good? I mean, they look... pretty identical. I'm sure there's some trained eye. I mean, is it like cubic zirconia and real diamonds? I don't know. Because that's the thing about that mink thing, man. You get that nice lining going. You get that, that is warm and toasty. Ain't no chilly wind going to penetrate that bad boy. Are the synthetics look indistinguishable to the untrained eye? Are they as warm? Are they as good? If they are, there's just no excuse for buying a real fur today, right? None. Or is there? This is why I ask you questions. 923, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. How awesome is this? From the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's Northern Service, traditional Inuit music, actual Eskimo tunes. How cool was that? Oh, by the way, because the reason for that is if you are an actual Inuit, I mean, well, first of all, is there no access to a store up in certain, areas of the Yukon or Siberia or something like that? I mean, probably not. And so if you got to, kill an animal to wear something, then knock yourself out. The rest of us don't really have that excuse. But in examining the traditional Inuit recordings, I did also find this. Which sounds like the washing machine in the basement of my dorm in 1977. It's catchy. It's catchy. Kids will dance to it. So traditional Inuit stuff. And so there we are on the fur round table. Let me hop into Gordon Griffin, and because once I get going, I get going. And we have folks. So among the calls, yes, there is still a market for fur. Lady from Houston has a full length mink. Oh my gosh. And another, just the whole notion of, okay, now we're going to get into the animals we eat thing too. Cause all right. I somehow knew this would happen. Fur round table and everything else you want to do. It's all welcome. 866-660-5759. Those folks on hold, do not move. Be right with you as soon as we check in with Gordon Griffin, 931. All right, kids. It's the specials and Hey Little Rich Girl. With a fur coat reference right off the bat.
Mom bought you a fur coat when you were 15.
Yeah, but where did you wear it?
You wore it to the disco.
What was everybody else wearing?
But everyone was in jeans.
Hey, Little Rich Girl, the specials. Mom bought you a fur coat when you were 15. All right, we've been talking about, and this just one of those crazy things popped into my head, and we're doing a little bit of the fur roundtable. Is that still a thing? Are there people still wearing it? That answer is apparently yes. Are you conflicted about it? Is that we're going out and buying it now? Diane tells me she wears hers. Been wearing it for 30 years. If, hey, husband bought it, what am I supposed to do? Burn it? Well, you could sell it, but from the testimony of the other gentleman, good luck with that, because the market on that might be a little depressed. All right, 866-660-5759. We are down I-45 in Houston. Hi, Mary. Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I am great. Nice to have you.
Thank you. I love your show.
Love you back.
And wanted to tell you, I inherited my mother-in-law's full-length mink coat, the ranch. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's got her name embroidered on the inside. It's heavy to wear. It's really nice. And I was telling Rhonda that I spend more time maintaining that coat. I take it to Saks every year, and they store it for me. Neiman's used to have a fur salon here at the Galleria in Houston, and they don't no longer do, but Saks still does. And I spend about $125 a year or so just storage. And then, like, every other year, I'll have it oiled to keep it nice and, keep the fur moist and everything.
Oh, man.
And that costs even more. But I try to wear it. Some winters, I don't get to wear it at all because it just doesn't get cold enough.
Yeah, you are in Houston, exactly, yeah. Well, I got a question about the storage. So storage, why does it need to be stored rather than just hanging in a closet at your house?
And she, you don't have to. She just kept it in the back, hanging in the back of the door in her bedroom. You don't want to put a fur coat inside a bag. That's bad.
Right.
The fur needs to breathe.
Oh, Lord.
So she just had it hanging. Yeah, she just had it hanging there. But it's a beautiful coat, and I just want to have it, maintain it, and keep it well.
No, I know. No, but I'm sorry. But pardon my persistence. You made a reference to storing it. Like, is that where you take it to Saks and they keep? Why is that necessary?
Yeah. It's not necessary, so I'm saying. She didn't do it. I do it.
Okay, gotcha.
It's just it keeps it in a climate-controlled area.
Oh, okay, gotcha. It comes under the heading of taking really special care of this thing that means a lot to you because it belonged to, was it your mother-in-law, you said?
My mother-in-law. I wore it to the symphony in Christmas for a Christmas program.
Right.
And it is so big that it needs its own seat.
That's tremendous.
But I love it, and I take care of it. And I have gone to some ladies' lunches here in Houston in the wintertime. And I'm going to turn 61 next month. Most of the ladies are in their 70s or so at the luncheon. You did see furs there, so some women do wear it. It was appraised several years ago at about $12,000 to replace.
So last thing, this belonged to your mother-in-law and would have been purchased and would have been purchased some decades ago, right?
Probably in the 80s, I would think, because they lived in Anchorage, Alaska.
Well, there you
for
are.
For about 3 or 4 years, and gotcha. That was, Dad got it for her because you know, she got the blues. You were talking about Seattle and the it being, you know, dark. Well, she got the blues in the wintertime with the long winters, and so he did bought that for her too.
Yeah,
you know.
Nothing cures that seasonal affective disorder like a $12,000 mink coat. But here's my last question is, because you've so beautifully communicated what it means to you and what wearing it is like, would you go out and buy another mink for yourself today?
No.
Yeah.
No. And it has nothing to do with the animal rights thing. I mean,
really?
It's not. If it's already there,
right.
And they've already killed the animal, it's like that lady who said it's not going to burn it for their husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you said it's not because of an animal rights thing. Let's say you didn't have one that one of your lady friends had. That sounds weird. One of your friends wore one and you just loved it and you thought, well, doggone it, I'm going to go out and get one for myself today. But you said you would not do that. Then why not?
I don't have that kind of money.
That's another. All right. If you had $12,000 lying around, would you buy a fur
coat?
Sure, I would. Okay.
Yeah,
there we go. Like, All right.
I like nice jewelry and I like, yeah, fur.
I know. Are you familiar with the synthetic? Am I right about that? Are the synthetics just as good, just as nice, or is it just not quite the same?
No, you're right. They are very, very similar. Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Okay.
All right. But you know, while you're in the fur salon in Saks and they're you know hanging yours up, you just look around and stuff.
beautiful fur. This is like being in a cigar store. It's about the experience as much as the product itself. In some way, it's a horrible comparison. Mary, thank you. I appreciate it. That you guys are knocking out of the park. I am fascinated by this. All right, we are in Waco. Bill, hey. Mark Davis, how are you? Welcome, sir.
I'm great. Thank you for asking.
Hi.
Hope you are.
I am.
I enjoy your show.
Thanks.
You are you have the gift of gab. It is wonderful.
Tell me about it.
I do a bit of varminting, which means we take care of like taking out coyotes, bobcats, things that cause depredation on people's properties.
Right.
You know, if they're chickens, their livestock and stuff. And as long as we're going to kill them, might as well keep the fur. Guess what? There's a market for that. And as long as Bubba needs his beer money, then that market is good. That supply is going to be met.
So what
and
kind of, what, so what are we, are there,
we,
are there coyote
why
and
bobcat? Do we trap otters?
Well, I
yeah,
know.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, coyote fur is very popular for coats and such.
Wow.
And the bobcat furs are marketed like to Asia or to South America where people really want those spots, you know, and such to show up.
Gotcha.
But there are other reasons. No, we don't club baby seals just because of political
correct. And where these animals are predators and vermin, and if you're on my property, I'll blow your head off and et cetera. You can't kill enough coyotes for me, and some days I think. And it's not like, and for the spots and stuff, it's not like you're going out there and taking a leopard off the planet or something like that. Bill, thank you, appreciate it very much. About coyote and bobcat. Mineral Wells. Hi, Rusty. Mark Davis. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. How about you?
Fantastic. Thanks.
Hey, do you wear a Western hat?
Oh, sure.
A belt?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
What is it? A 4X, 5X, 10X beaver?
I'll kill a beaver with my bare hands. Those are not of God. I don't know, and that's probably all kinds of rationals. I had a beaver issue at our house in Keller. We had beavers nearly take over almost the entire house. And then we came and had somebody. They had like beaver relocation. I said no, I don't want these beavers relocated. I want them relocated to hell. I want them dead. I want them. I don't want to, because they'll find their way back. And this company came out. Because we had a big lake, and then the beavers built a stupid dam, because I guess that's what beavers do. And it was it created a drainage nightmare. It was ridiculous. So they came and trapped one of these things, and they brought that thing to me. It wasn't some cute little bucky. Look at it, let's pet his head. This thing was demon spawn. So don't I got no, yeah, dead. I know I'm totally rationalizing, but that's kind of why I asked. It puts all of us in an interesting ethical place. Yeah. Got to think about my hat now. I love my hat. 9:50, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The answer. No, okay, 30 seconds. Bill, you got 30 seconds. I just want you to say what you told Rhonda. Go ahead.
Is it my bill?
Yep.
Yeah, first off, the bird industry did a pretty pitiful job of combating the misnomer of what the furs are. There are no wild animals in mink coats because the skins aren't the same age. They don't have the same hue.
Well, where do they go and get them?
They raise them. Just like we raise chickens and ostriches.
Okay, that's a good point. Like that's a Christmas tree argument. We're not chopping down trees that are just out there denuding the forest. We're doing it for that make a difference. Well, maybe we'll do that on our next mink roundtable, which might be 5 years from now. I don't know. These chances pass but once sometimes in a lifetime. What fun that was, though. Thank y'all. 9:51. Be right back. Technology is my friend there. Little Mary Chapin Carpenter on her 62nd birthday, and I take my chances. Well, for Rhonda and Shane and Gordon, thank you. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Mike Gallagher is next. Have a fantastic weekend. See you Monday. Let's see who wins Nevada tomorrow and take it from there on 660 AM The Answer. God bless.